Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You're just tuning in. This is going to be a little bit of a treat because this is something that we've never done on the Grilling Guys before, and that is Barbecue Bob is going to be talking to his future son-in-law about their excursions last weekend up in resetting their deer camp for the year. And I'm going to just sit back and take a spectator seat on this one and see how this goes, unless, of course, I hear an opportunity.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks, Jop. And don't worry, Christian understands fully that what happens at deer camp stays at deer camp. So okay. There's no
danger. Why did we even call him?
There's no danger.
Why the hell did we even call him, right?
It's like Vegas. So on the grilling line right now is Christian Schofield, known to our family as Toto.
Yeah, Toto it is.
Our granddaughters.
No, you can't leave that hanging.
Our granddaughters named him Toto because they're two, and they try and say all these names, and I don't really know how that came about. But so now
he's hung with that for the rest of his life.
He is,
now,
yeah, and he seems to be fine with it. He's a furry little dog,
Uncle Toto. That's awesome.
So So I was just telling in the first segment how. Hanging out at Whipple and you doing your duck calls and everything, and we talked extensively about duck hunting, that I got pretty enthused and excited about duck hunting. And matter of fact, when you're done, we're going to hear from a man named T-Gid, and he's down in Louisiana, and he just came off quite a duck hunting trip that you're going to want to listen in on. And but right now, we just want to hear about a guy like me who's never really been into duck hunting and kind of thinks he wants to. How do you get started at it?
Yeah, it's the way I got started in was, it was actually my uncle. I grew up in a deer hunting family, and I was an avid bow hunter. Any weekend that I could in the fall, from opening day till the season closed, I was in a tree stand. And I knew my uncle would go out and duck hunt, and he used to deer hunt, and now he doesn't anymore, and that's all he strictly does. And I asked him the same thing. I said, hey, would you take me out, take me duck hunting? I'm curious, big sportsman, love to try the sport. And the first thing he told me, which is what I tell everybody now that I take duck hunting with myself, is if you do any other outdoorsman activity, be prepared to quit that. Because once you duck hunt, you don't go back. There isn't, I still deer hunt, but more or less, I'm going to pick duck hunting. And it all depends, too, especially being in Michigan, like you were talking about. The guy from Louisiana just went on a duck hunt. Down there is huge. That's more opportunity. You're going to go out and shoot your limit every day. That's where you know that there's different flyways. Everything comes down from up north during migration.
Yeah, like four different flyways.
And they all head towards, you know, Mexico, Louisiana. So right now is the big teal migration. The teal will move first. And down south, that's huge. Up here, they tried the teal season. We really didn't have much luck. There's just so many different bodies of water that you can go to, and we just haven't seen a lot of teal. But down there, it's huge. But it's ever since I went out with my uncle one time, I shot a mallard hen was my first duck, and I was hooked. And then I went out to Colorado, kind of was out there for a year, and met another buddy who kind of fine-tuned my skills, and duck hunting out there is completely different than being here in Michigan.
How's that?
Out there, there's such little bodies of water. It's all reservoirs and stuff. So really the ducks are always going to go to those certain spots. So you know if you get there at an early enough time, you're going to get some good waterfowl action.
So Michigan has like 11,000 lakes. So that must make it a little difficult to know where they're going to pattern.
Right, and that was what I really didn't think of. So I came back to Michigan, I'm like, okay, you know, here's an amazing spot, body water, cattails, I can sit right here. But one day you could have, you know, two different flocks of birds on it one day, and the next you're not going to see a single thing because there's another body of water a mile down the road that they decided that that's going to be where they're going to be at the next day. So it's harder in Michigan, but you just kind of play it off the weather. It's, you know, there's so many different factors that go into waterfowl hunting. That's why I fell in love with it. So deer hunting was, you found, you know, where the trails were, you put cameras up, you'd hunt your stand. Whereas, you know, waterfowl is just different every day. You if it's, you know, everything plays a role into your hunt. Weather, type of calls, the wind, it's pretty awesome.
So, Christian, question for you. There's a lot of guys that have the good fortune of having some private water to hunt on, but there's also a whole host of guys that have to hunt in public areas. And when you're driving around looking for a great duck spot, other than the obvious is there's ducks on the water, so that'd be a good place to go. What are you looking for?
I look for, one of my biggest things is cover. You know, if there's a body of water and you see a bunch of, you know, geese, like you said, and that is kind of what you do, is if you see waterfowl on it, it means there's a reason they're there. It means that there's either food for them, there's cover, there's something they like on that lake. So that's, a big indicator of, yeah, it's a good lake. But if there isn't enough cover for me that I won't stick out like a sore thumb, then it's going to be pretty difficult to get your limit. And that's the difference between, you know, deer and waterfowl, is waterfowl are very related on eyesight. Any type of movement or discoloration that they don't like, they're not going to come in. So that's camouflage and, you know, the right camouflage, concealing yourself, that's your number one goal.
So we always think of hawks and falcons and eagles as having great eyesight, but you're saying duck are the same way.
Exactly, and that's, you know, that's what my uncle told me was, you know, they can see the whites of your eyes. You're not supposed to, you're actually, when you get birds to commit to your spread, you're more looking at the reflection off the water. You're seeing those birds move through the water, seeing how close they are. Because if you look at them the wrong way, they'll actually see your eyes, and that is, they'll take off right away.
So you're typically wearing sunglasses then?
You can. Just me, I have to wear prescription glasses, so I'll normally wear glasses in the early morning, just because with my sunglasses, most of your action is going to be right at sunlight. Every time I've shot my limit, it was right from shooting light, 30, 45 minutes after, and I'm done. So it's, and that all depends upon to on your location. We hunted a pond last year that was on a private property. It was a little, trying to think, it was more like where his cattle would go just to get a drink of water. Super small. We'd seen some action there. We're like, okay, we'll go in the morning. And it was hands down the fastest limit I've ever, it was me and two other buddies, and we shot our limit in 30 minutes.
Wow.
They just came out of nowhere. They start flying, and you get mornings like that where you don't even need to be a skilled caller or, know what to put in your spread, because stuff like that, it's just birds that want to come into that pond.
So, Christian, I can't let you off the line without a little bit of this deer hunting camp trip that you took last weekend with Bob.
Yeah.
You know what? You get licensed. I'll stand between you and him. He's not gonna get mad about this. But you gotta have something, baby. Come on. You spent 36 hours with Bob Nirmico. Something crazy happened. I guarantee it. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we had everyone try some hot sauce that we thought wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
That changed everyone's minds pretty quick. That chili was. That chili was hard to eat with all that hot sauce.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, yeah, that's a little tame, but okay.
But we did move the outhouse, so we got to handle everything.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
crap was happening there in a big way, I'm sure.
Christian Schofield, appreciate your knowledge, and I want to get some information on how to smoke them and prepare them and some of your secrets sometime on that, too. So I'm sure I'll see you real soon.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good. And thanks for having me on.
Hey, tell us again the name of your business.
West Michigan Fab.
Okay. Free plug.
Good.
There you go.
Well, if it flies like a duck and it drops like a duck after you shoot, you're going to have to cook a duck. And we got a guy from Louisiana, one of our board of directors, T. Gidd, that's going to tell us how to do duck Cajun style. Stick with us. We'll be back.